Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 14. Anybody need a Bible this morning?
Anybody need a Bible?
Romans chapter 14.
Anybody need an outline?
They're blank.
Okay, all right.
I was going to preach this message before, and it didn't happen. And I've had a few more weeks to stir on it and think about it. And this morning on the way in the car, we were listening to some praise and worship music, and I really felt like I got a direction by the Spirit with this word that I want to share with you. But before we do that, I want to pray. Oh, let's make our proclamation.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We can do that without the words, can't we?
Yes,
let's stand and make our proclamation. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. Amen. You may be seated. And now I want to pray. I want you to pray with me. Agree with me. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, there's a word in my spirit that is to be birthed today by the Spirit. That there's something that each one of us needs to hear. And that when we leave this place, just as we proclaimed, there will be something that will make a difference in our lives. It will bring a change. It will do what is necessary in each of us. I thank you, Father, today for those who are here. There are those that belong here that are not here, but we are here. And we thank you, Father, we're not looking at what's not here or who's not here. We're looking, Father, today to you to speak to those who are here. And Lord, that you didn't fall off the throne because somebody didn't get up this morning and come to church. But Lord, that in your wisdom, in your transcendency, Lord, there's not a thing about this day you didn't already know. Lord, we know that there are a lot of people being affected by storms. There were people that were affected by the earthquake. There are people that are being affected by the economy. There are people that are being affected by the things that are going on in their lives. But today in this place, there's a people that you've sent a word to. And we're not going to miss your word. We're going to hear it. And I thank you for it. Holy Spirit, come now. Teach through me your will, your way that never lacks your power. Cause me to step aside and let you step up even now and say what you want to say to us. And everybody that will receive that said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I hope that's everybody in the room. And I want to give you some instruction before I begin this morning. And the instruction is this. And this is what I kind of heard in the car on the way here this morning. I want each person that's sitting in this room today, I want you to envision with me that you are the only person hearing what I'm saying this morning. It's as if there's no one else in the room but you and I, and you're giving me freedom to speak to you, and you're not going to talk back, but you're going to hear. And you're going to listen. Now, I'm not going to say anything, probably, that you don't already know. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to say anything that's going to be this great revelation that you're going to go out of here and go, wow, that was such awesome revelation. You know, Pastor Mike's just been getting great new things from the Lord. I don't think I'm going to say anything you don't already know. But what I want to do is encourage you today. Encourage you. Because everything out there is trying to discourage you. Everything, everybody, every system, everything going on out there today is trying to discourage you and I. And there's something that I want to show us today that I want you to hear as if you're the only person in the room. Isn't it great for my birthday weekend? My daughter's here at church with us.
Yeah.
And that is if you were the only person in the room and it's just me and you, Judy, and I'm talking to you, and I want to encourage you with this word. It's just me and you, Anna. It's just me and you, Leroy. It's just me and you. And I'm speaking to you, and what I'm saying, I'm not saying to you because I'm judging you. I'm not saying to you because I think I know more than you. I'm saying this to you because I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I want to cause you today to rise above whatever's going out there and know that there's something that God's doing on the inside of you today that's going to make a difference. Are you ready for this? Because I'm going to do it. Amen. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says this, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink." I'm reading out of the New King James Version. "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." King James Version says, "in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, prior to this verse, there's an argument going on about what you can eat or what you can't eat, what you should eat or what you shouldn't eat, what is holy before God and what is not. And Paul is addressing something here. He says, you know what? And I want us to forget about the food idea. I want us to think of it this way. Paul's talking about the do's and the don'ts. Because you see, there's a people out there that says, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to know the kingdom of God, if you're going to know the rule of God, if you're going to know the life of God, then you need to know these do's and don'ts. And once you get the do's and don'ts right, then you'll know that you're doing what God's called you to do. So it's all about the do's and the don'ts. It's all about what I will do or what I won't do, what I have done or what I haven't done, what I am doing or what I'm not doing. And life in the church overall, in the history of the church, has all been about us getting things lined up according to a system of ways. And Paul says, but the kingdom of God is not do's and don'ts. It's not what you have or haven't done. It's not what you are or are not doing. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Period. Well, in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, right standing with God. Jesus came, suffered on a cross, shed His blood, died. We just sang about it. Amazing love. How can it be that this King would die for me? Say, for me. Close your eyes and say, for me. Okay, I'm preaching to you. Just you this day. Amazing love. How can it be that this King would come and die for me? But you see, He came and died for you. Not so that you and I would get involved in the do's and the don'ts and the what you have and what you haven't done in the works of the kingdom, but that we would understand that because of Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, today you're under the blood, and being under the blood makes you righteous before God. Don't make you cocky. It don't make you conceited. It don't make you above. It makes you in right relationship with God. Because of Jesus. Not because of what you did. Not because of what you didn't do. Not because of what you thought. Not because of the systems of this world or the systems of the church. But we're talking about the true kingdom of God is righteousness, right standing with God. If I'd looked at my life and I said, well, you know, all these things don't look like God, so I must not be righteous, then what I'm saying is what Jesus did was not big enough for all those things I did. But you see, His blood's pure. Mine's not. But I don't stand today because of what's gone on in my blood. I stand today because of what went on in the blood of Jesus. So the right standing with God is not because Mike got it right. The right standing with God is because Jesus got it right and Mike got Jesus. That may not be good English. I don't know, but it works for me. Because Mike's got Jesus. Amen. So maybe it does too. So I'm in right standing with God. Now what will shift me from that? Lots of different things, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But I need to understand that the kingdom of God is, first of all, righteousness, right standing with God. So when I get up in the morning, and whether I'm grumpy or whether I'm excited, I look in the mirror, and the first thing I need to notice is, in that mirror staring back at me, is righteousness. Right standing with God. Don't feel like it sometimes. Sometimes don't look like it. Sometimes don't smell like it. Sometimes it just don't seem like it. But you see, I'm not looking in that mirror according to what Mike did. I'm looking in that mirror according to what Jesus did. Because He's bigger than I am. And I've accepted Him. And He makes the difference. So I'm righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Close your eyes and say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. You're in right standing with God. For some people, that's a revelation. For some people, that's a, well, Mike, you know, I don't know about that. Well, either you are or you're not. If you're not, we can make it right now. Just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Allow Him to move in. Because He sweeps the room clean. And He covers it with His blood. And the Word says, you're washed white as snow. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Then the next thing He says the kingdom of God is righteousness. And the next thing is peace. Now, if there's anything this world lacks more of, well, maybe probably righteousness, but second in line would be peace. Because there is something right now designated to rob you of your peace. There is something right now working to hit you at the right time, at the right moment, to suck the peace right out of you. There is something moving in this earth that wants to rob you of peace. Wants to rob me of my peace. But the kingdom of God is not a lack of peace. The Word says, in right standing with God, second of all, I have the privilege of receiving peace. No matter what's happened. No matter what I did. No matter what they did. No matter what's going on out there. I have peace. And there's a way we describe peace that comes from the Word. We say about the peace of God that it is a peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace of God. It passes all understanding. That's the peace of God. Because you see, there are times when we should be bonkers. There are times when we should be anything but peaceful. There are things going on to rob you of that. But you see, this peace that comes from God, it passes all understanding. And in the midst of the storm, people will look at you and say, how are you making it? Because there's something on me that passes what's going on. It's greater, and it's the peace of God. It's actually a part of the kingdom of God. Now, the lost and dying world is out there looking at the church, and what they're seeing is Baptists and charismatic and non-denominational and this and that and this and that. And they're looking at all these titles and then they're looking at all these names and they're looking at all this stuff. But you know what they're looking for? They're looking for the kingdom, the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what they're looking for. Righteousness, peace. Peace that passes understanding. I've been thinking about this for a few months now. And throughout these months, things have arisen, is that the word? Things have come about that I have known were designed to rob me of my peace. And I have to be honest with you, there are times when I want to say, I just don't think I can do this. I just don't think I can be peaceful in this. I just want to worry. You know, there are times that I just want to crawl back in bed and pull the cover back over my head and say, you know, I just don't want to see any light. Because it's just easier in the darkness. There are times. But because I've been meditating on this for a couple of months, and I've been thinking about this, one of the things that the Holy Ghost, which is why we got to do this in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us to bring to our remembrance the things of God. If we have any sensitivity whatsoever in our non-peaceful moments, we'll hear this little nudge of the Holy Spirit say, my peace is available. My peace is available. Well, I don't feel it. My peace is available. Well, I don't see it. My peace is available. Well, it don't seem like it. My peace is available. And this is the thought or the discipline, I guess that's a good word, that I've been trying to cause myself to do is say, okay, Lord, your peace is available. I choose to step into it. I don't feel peace. I don't see peace. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm not going to be moved by that. I'm going to step into the peace of God. Mind, talk to myself. Mind, you're going to step in the peace of God. Don't let this rob you. Step in the peace of God. Don't let this pull you down. Step in the peace of God. Don't let this bring the depression on you. Step into the peace of God. Lord, I thank you. I have peace that passes all understanding. I don't feel it. I don't sense it. I don't even naturally know it, but I thank you by the Holy Spirit. It's mine. The Holy Spirit is alive on the inside of me because I've accepted Jesus who makes me righteous and in right standing with God. So because of that righteousness, I receive my peace now. And Lord, I choose to stand in it. And when those thoughts come that say, you're not going to make it, when those thoughts come that say, you're going under, when the thoughts come that say, everybody's going to find out, when the thoughts come that say, it's the end of the world as we know it, you can say, you know what? I receive the peace of God. And I'm going to stand in the peace of God. And if this thing takes me out, I'm going out in the peace of God. If this thing takes everything I've got, I'm going in the peace of God. If this thing ruins everything around me, I'm going to stand in the peace of God. I'm not going to let it rob me. Then the last thing is the thing I think Christians need more than anything else that we can find in the church. Joy. Joy. I called you this week and I asked you what you said about fear because I didn't want to preach your message. And when you told me what fear was, you said fear is not an emotion.
It's a spirit that plays on your emotion.
It's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. Because this is what I heard. Righteousness, peace, and joy is a position. It's not emotion. Righteousness, peace, and joy are not spirits, are not emotions. They're positions. You get it? Righteousness, say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Peace.
Peace.
And joy.
Joy.
Are not emotions.
They're positions.
And they're the positions of the kingdom of God. And they're made available through Jesus Christ and brought and expressed and freed through us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended up on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said, it's needful that I go because there's another one coming who's not going to be just with you like I've been, Jesus said. But he said, this one's going to come in a form that not only can he be with you, But He's going to reside inside of you. And that's the Holy Spirit. And He said, Father God knew this before the foundation of the world. And He knew that on August the 28th, 2011, that you would have need of His provision of the Holy Spirit. And that as you access your life into the freedom of the Holy Spirit, you would understand your position of righteousness. You would understand your position of peace. And you would understand your position of joy. Joy is not an emotion. And joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. See, there are things that can affect my happiness. But if I know the joy of the Lord, in the midst of anger, I can still find joy. It's on the inside of me. In the midst of dilemma, I can still find joy. And it's, again, that we said, peace that passes all understanding. It's joy. Listen to this. The Bible describes it this way. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that is so incredible, there are no words to describe it. And it's full. This joy is full of glory. Do you know what the word glory means? The presence of God. So this joy is unspeakable. There are no English, Spanish, German, French, whatever words to describe this joy. It's unspeakable. And this joy is full. Full, not empty, not halfway. Some people see the glass half empty. Some people see the glass half full. I'm not talking about half anything. I'm talking full. Joy unspeakable and full of the presence of God. Let me ask you this question with that understanding. If you're full, if your joy is full of the presence of God, what out there can touch it? What out there can remove it? What's out there that's greater? Nothing's greater than the presence of God. And there's coming a day when out there is going to know, because when the presence of God comes back, the Word says that all of this earth is going to bow to the presence of God. And I venture to say that if you and I will start walking in the position of the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost of the kingdom of God, that we will express such an atmosphere that God can come up and show Himself in our midst in such a way that we will see darkness dispelled, the things of this earth growing dim, because the presence of God is greater. What I desire. Is it what you desire this morning? I didn't know this was going to preach so good, but I like it. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. If you're in Romans, go to the right. Just a couple of books over there and you'll find Galatians chapter 5. Now, I've said this before, and I'm just going to hit on this, and then we're going to move on just a little bit, because I've got some things here I want to say about the kingdom of God and what tries to rob us and take us out of that position of righteousness, peace, and joy. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, we need to understand that we are living today in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I've heard it preached to me before that what I'm fixing to read is something you have to walk in and that you need to develop. You need to discipline this in your life. But I want you to know something. This word says that these attributes are the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't discipline yourself. It's already there. All we have to do is walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh. Look here at verse 16. Let's start there. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then verse 22. And I said, well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Well, if you walk in the Spirit, then you're going to walk in the fruit of something. And this is what we're going to walk in the fruit of. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then I love these last words. Against such, there's no law. Against such, there's nothing that's bigger. Against such, there's nothing that has greater power. When you and I walk with the release of the Holy Spirit, see, the trouble is, we don't want to give to the Holy Spirit because I want to be in control. And if we're walking in right standing with God, if we're walking in the peace that passes understanding, if we're walking in the joy that's the fullness of the presence of God, then when we get to the point that we want to act in a way that's not like the fruit of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will nudge us and say, are you walking in love? Are you walking in self-control? Are you walking in meekness? Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Well, it doesn't matter. What are you walking in? Well, you don't know what they said. It doesn't matter. How are you walking? Are you going to let them rob you of this that God's given you? Are you going to let circumstances take from you the kingdom of God? Are you going to let life bring you out of your position? Because if you are, you're going to live in your emotions. And emotions will take you on a roller coaster ride. One day you're up, the next day you're down. One day you're doing good, the next day you're suffering. Sometime by the second. Sometime by the second, if we're living by our emotions. But if we're living according to the kingdom of God, we're living in right standing with God, we're living in the peace that passes understanding, and we're living in the joy that is full, the fullness of the joy of the Lord. And against these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, there's no law. When they're there, nothing can stand against them. You know what I want to tell you this? When if we're in the midst of trouble, and we choose in the midst of trouble to say, okay, I'm going to check myself here, and I see that I'm walking by my flesh, I'm dealing with things by my mind, my will, and my emotions, I'm dealing with things not by the Spirit of God, I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to express Himself through me, there's no righteousness, there's no peace, there's no joy. And you know, if in the middle of that, you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop right now, and Lord, I'm going to step into my position. And I thank you, Lord, that this position's greater even than my mess up to this point. You know what happens? We then put ourselves in a position for the power of God, the glory of God, the presence of God, to run away and deal with everything around us. And that's how we can see a lost and dying world say, I don't know what happened. I mean, I was watching you and it looked like you were going under, and all of a sudden you're doing better than I've ever seen you do. I had nothing to do with it. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. And there are some folk today, we need the kingdom of God expressed today, not tomorrow, now. So my encouragement, if I could be with just me and you, is say, are you allowing the righteousness, the peace, and the joy position to lead you? Or are other things leading you? I thought about this and I thought, what would be the things that would come our way that would cause us to step out of our position? I wrote down five things. And I've said this a while ago, circumstances. Circumstances are designed to get us out of our position. Circumstances. You know, some people say, well, how you doing? They say, well, under the circumstances. Then our next reply should be, well, what are you doing under there? You need to rise above those circumstances. Are you is your life being dictated to you by your circumstances, or is your life being dictated to you by the kingdom of God? What's evident? What's happening? What's more real to you? The circumstances or the kingdom? This is where faith comes in, church. This is where we walk by faith and not by sight. Because in the sight realm, it's all happening bad. But you see, I'm not living by the ways of the world. I'm not living by sight. I'm living by faith. Faith steps up and says, God, what you said, what you provided is more real than what this earth and what's going on out here. It's more real than what's going on in here. The faith of God will bring us above the circumstances. Sometimes circumstances are, well, you know, if everything's not going the way I like it, it robs me of my peace. And how many know that if your peace is contingent upon everything going your way, life itself will slap you in the face? You know, my circumstances, I'm okay as long as everything's smooth. Well, hang out with me for just about a day. You'll find out life is not always smooth. Hang out with anybody. Life is not always smooth. You never were promised a rose garden. You've never been promised that everything's going to be hunky-dory and a-okay and all right. And that we're all just going to drift around and wait for Jesus to return so we can go on up in heaven and everything be wonderful. It's just not real. It's just not real. But you see, there is a realness that's on the inside that says, no matter what comes my way, I am more than a conqueror. That I can step back into the position of righteousness, peace, and joy. And sometimes it may take just saying, y'all, wait just a minute, I'll be right back. And you go into the other room, to the bathroom, to your prayer closet, wherever it is, and you shut the door and you say, Lord, I want to let my flesh fly. I want to explode. I want to let them have it. I want to do this. I want to say that. I want to. But Lord, I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to step into the position of righteousness, peace, and joy. I don't feel it right now. But Lord, I'm not going to let that rob me. I'm not going to let this circumstance rob me. And then you come back and you walk in the kingdom of God. Number two, something that comes to cause you to step out of your position of the kingdom of God is money. Having it or not having it? Money. I've seen people have bukoodles money, most miserable people on the face of the earth. I'd like to have my opportunity to prove it, but but I tell you what, I've lived comfortable, and I've lived uncomfortable, and I've learned my God is the same, and I am not. So I have to learn how to walk in the kingdom of God, regardless of whether I have or regardless of whether I don't. Money. It can rob you of the kingdom position. Number three, authorities. Authorities. Because you know what? In the kingdom of God, we've got authorities. The Bible says that the police officers are a godly authority in our life. And some of them don't act too godly. The Bible says your boss is a godly authority in your life. Well, he ain't ever heard that. Your Bible says your president is a godly authority in your life. Was that quiet on that? If you voted for him or not, your Bible says authorities. Authority is of God. Now there is such a thing as illegitimate authority. And that's a whole nother sermon. But there are people in our lives that we've submitted ourselves to who have no business being authorities in our lives at times. And I don't want to get into that. But no matter what kind of authority you're dealing with, we can either deal with it by the flesh or we can deal with it by the Spirit. We need to stop ourselves and say, well, did I express the fruit of the Spirit, or did I express the fruit of Mike? The fruit of the Mike should be the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm dying daily, and I'm growing daily, and I'm learning about the fruit of the Spirit. And I've had now 53 years to prepare myself. And y'all, there are areas that I've done all right, and there's areas that I haven't even started. But the truth of the matter is, what am I doing with it? Am I growing, and am I going? Am I allowing the fruit of the Spirit to become alive and real? Am I responding by love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control? Am I allowing the kindness of God to be expressed when I'm getting cut off on the interstate? Am I allowing the joy of the Lord to come up when things happen? Number four, relationships. Lord, help us. In relationships, is everyone acting the way I expect them to act? Because the truth of the matter is, there are going to be times they will, and there are going to be times they won't. But if it robs you of your position, something's wrong. I can't be moved by what others do or others don't do. It's my position as a Christian, as a child of God, and it's the place where I find right standing with God, peace with God, and joy with God. And I find that right standing not just being in me, but coming out of me. I find that peace not just within me, but coming out of me. I find that joy not just in me, but coming out of me. And when those things are coming and going, y'all, whatever your relationships are, if we choose to walk by the Spirit of God, the righteousness, peace, and joy, which is the kingdom of God, by the Holy Spirit, will deal with whatever is not like Him. And I won't be able to take any credit for it. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to get upset about a phone call. And my first thought was, dadgummit. I was in a grocery store, and I got this phone call. And somebody saying something to me that really, you know, it was my birthday, and that, this person knew that. And there were some things that are going on, and this person, and this, you know, there seems like there's always somebody. And you know what I've learned is you can get them taken care of, and the devil will send you somebody else. So, you know, let's pass the test with this one. And at first I got mad and I said a couple of things, but I got home and I was standing in the kitchen with Stephanie and I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this win. I'm not going to let this win. I'm going to rise above this. I don't want to. I want to say what's in my mind, not in my heart. Surely my heart is lined up with you, Lord. I want to say what's in my mind. I want to say some choice words. Pastor Mike, you'd say some choice words. Just hang out with me every once in a while. I want to let it go. But I looked at Stephanie and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to rise above it. And of course, I'm thinking about what I'm preaching today. And so I said, Mike, step into the righteousness of God. Y'all, that feels good. It feels way better than the way that made me feel. Way better. And you know what? I'm not going to let them rob me of this. Does that make sense? I'm not going to let people rob me of my position. It's my position in God. Relationships. Relationships. And then the last thing that I have written down, number five, that has come to rob you of your position. And y'all, some people, when I say this, some people are going to say, oh, well, you know, whatever. But the last, and this is a very real thing to understand, the last thing that comes to rob you of your peace is the devil. Enemy. The thief. The Bible says he's a thief, roaming about, seeing what? Who he might destroy. Who he might devour. Who he might destroy. Who he might disrupt. Now, as a Christian, this is what I believe. He's not going to rob you of Jesus. But if he can rob you of your righteousness understanding position, if he can rob you of your peace, if he can rob you of your joy, then he's going to do everything he can to push that button. Because if you, think that he won't, then you're in a position that he can rob you blind. There are times that you and I need to stop, look at what's going around us, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, I rebuke you, and I command you to take your hands off of my situation. I command you to take your claws off of my finances. I command you to take your talons off of my health. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to rise above it, and I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to get out of here. When's the last time we did some battle with the devil, church? Oh, well, I don't want to do that. I mean, people will think I'm crazy. Then let the devil eat your lunch. I'm going to eat the lunch of God. There comes a time, church, when we need to understand that what we're dealing with is an attack of the devil. Because he don't want you to come into your fullness. He don't want you to come into the... He don't want you to stand in the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. He don't want you to exist there. He says, I know what Anna's button is, and I'll just push it. And Anna can say, it either works or it doesn't. Well, if I choose to stand in the position of the kingdom of God, then he can push my button all day long, and it's not going to work. And then if I notice that it's a major onslaught, then I'm just going to stop and say, devil, you can't have it. You can't have it. The Word of God, when the devil was putting Jesus' buttons, he said, it is written. The devil don't like the Word being slapped back in his face. He doesn't like it at all. He said, it is written. Devil, you said I'm going under. The Word says I'm more than a conqueror. Devil, you said that my finances are not going to be all right. The Word says that all my needs are met according to His riches by the glory of Christ Jesus. When the devil says, you're going to die. When the devil says, I don't care what anybody says, what you've got is going to take you out. You can say, you know what? The Word of God says, by His stripes, I was healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. Throw that symptom on me today, but I received what happened 2,000 years ago. The provision was made before what you threw on me came my way. And I'm not receiving it. There's not anything you're facing, there's not anything I'm facing today, that there's not an answer. Circumstances, money, authorities, relationships, and the enemy are working against righteousness, peace, and joy. I've thought about this for probably 2 months. Excuse me. I don't think there's any area in life that doesn't cover righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the kingdom of God. We're either going to walk in it, stand in our position, or we're not. And I'm going to close with this. This came to me this week. I had some other scriptures, but I'm going to close with this. And I want you to hear this. I was thinking, this came to me, I guess it was Monday. And I was praying about it, And this may not mean near as much to you as it meant to me, but we're having our conversation one-on-one, and you can rejoice in my excitement. But I was thinking, I was praying, and I was thinking, meditating on the fact that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And these are not emotions, but they're positions. And As I learn to walk in the Spirit, as I learn to walk in the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth and so on, Galatians 5:22, as I learn to walk in those things, then I'm going to see more and more and more the release of these things, not just in me, but without. And I need them within, but there comes a point, church, when we need to be out of our little diapers as a baby Christian. And we need to be able to allow others to see that this victory is on the inside of us. And as I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about this position, this is what I heard. Mike, it's not just a position. Righteousness, peace, and joy are not just positions, they're gifts. They're gifts. God said, it's a gift to you from me. He said, what are you going to do with my gift? And I said, Lord, I receive your gift. A phone call wanted me not to receive it, but Lord, I'm not going to receive the junk of that phone call. I receive my gift of peace. And I thank you for my gift. Because my gift is from you. It's a gift from you, Lord. And if it's a gift, then it's something that you love me so much. You said, you know, Mike, it's going to get tough sometimes, but I'm going to give you something that's bigger than how tough it is. And it's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't have to be good enough. You know, there is not anything in this world I wouldn't do for you. But you need to understand, everything you need, He's already done. And He wants to give it to you as a gift. She's my child. Y'all, I would lay down on this floor and die for her. Some of you I might not, but I won't talk about that right now. But for her, I'd do anything. And when I saw all four of my children be born, I tell everybody, the day I saw Stephen, I understood unconditional love. And I had no concept of it prior to that. But I understand unconditional love with my children. And I tell them all the time, there's nothing you can ever do that could cause me to love you anymore. And there's nothing you could ever do that would cause me to love you any less. And I learned that through him. And he says, what's coming your way? Whether it may be circumstances, whether it may be relationships, whether it may be the devil, whether it may be money. What's the other one? Whether it may be authorities. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, and I'm sure there's more besides those five, but whatever it is, Father says, I have you a gift. I have you a gift. And we can either receive the gift and walk in it, or we can say, well, I just don't think it's big enough for me right now. I've done too wrong. I'm sorry, Father. And y'all, I know what depression is like, and I know sometimes it feels better to give to it than it is to walk above it. And I can't promise you that I walk right every time it comes my way. But I'm doing my best to say, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to let this swing. I'm going to step into my position and receive my gift. And the gift comes by the grace of God. Everything that comes from God to us comes by grace. And what are the definitions of grace? It's God's ability in you to do what you don't have the ability to do. It's the divine influence of God upon your heart and its reflection in your life. It's the operational power of God. Grace is what God's done for you that you could never touch. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the kingdom of God. It's my position. I can, you know, the waves can be tossing and the sky is black, the lightning is going, the thunder is hitting. And in my heart I find joy. In my heart I find peace. In my heart I find right standing with God. Immediately the enemy comes and says, you don't deserve it. Immediately the enemy comes and says, but look at what you did last week. Look at what you did this morning. Look at what you did a month ago. Immediately the enemy comes. The word says he's the accuser of the brethren. Now sometimes he don't have to, because I know folks will accuse themselves regardless. But there comes a point, church, when we got to rise above that and say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to walk in the right standing with God. And in walking in right standing with God because of Jesus, I have peace and I have joy. 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 Would you stand? Lord, I hope I said what you wanted me to say. I hope by the Spirit, Lord, you've melted our hearts together today to hear with your heart, to hear what you would speak to us. And Lord, I don't know what everybody's dealing with this morning, but Lord, there's not a person in here that's not dealing with something. And Lord, if we can each look at that situation and see that it's designed to rob us of the kingdom, then Lord, each one of us can take that step and step right into our position, receive our gift. And then Lord, by the fruit of the Spirit and by operating and walking and releasing in our hearts and our minds and from our mouths, the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of our own attitudes and own junk. As we release the fruit of the Spirit, we'll be able to see the power of God do abundantly and above and beyond all that we could ever ask, think, dream, or hope for. And we see the power of God do your will, your way, that never lacks your power. Gosh, there's people today that are at the end of the rope. They've got a knot tied and are holding on by fingernails. And in the natural, don't look like there's any way to make it. But I thank you, Father, that you've already made a way. Where there seems to be no way, you work in ways we cannot see. You will make a way for me. You will be my guide and hold me closely to your side. With love and strength for each new day, you will make a way. God will make a way. I thank you for it, Father. Lord, there's not a person in this room. I wish I could sit down with each one, speak these words, and us have conversation, not about the junk, but about the goodness of God. Not about the circumstance, but about the kingdom of God. Not about the attack of the enemy, but about the victory of Jesus Christ. Not about the lack of money, but the provision of my God. Not about the circumstance, but about the fruit of the Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Help us. Bring us from where we are now to the next step, that we can come into more and more of what you've got for us. And everybody that agreed said, Amen.